Good day and welcome to today's Troax Group presentation Q4 report 2021. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I also must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, and I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Thomas Widstrand. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for calling in. As you understand, I'm Thomas Widstrand. I'm the President of Troax Group, and I would like to share with you then some of the analysis, or let's call it conclusions and comments around the fourth quarter financial development of Troax, and obviously we'll do some comments also about the whole year. I will, and those of you who have been following this kind of presentation before, I will follow what we call the quarter four reporting, which is on our webpage. For those of you who are trying to find it, if you go to our webpage, it's troax.com, you will find on the menu a heading which is called Investors. If you then push Investors, you will come to a number of choices then of different reports, but you will go to what is called actually Financial Reports. On the Financial Reports, you will then find then the fourth quarter 2021 presentation, which I more or less will follow. If you don't have it, you will be able to follow my comments in any case, but nevertheless, if you have it's always a bit easier. I'll start with the first page, and it's always that I try to introduce the company by saying then that we help people and organization to try to stay safe. Not only safe and sound, but also on solid ground. With that, the introduction, very short introduction, I come into the third page where we have then examples. The first example of the business area that we are working with, just so you have a brief introduction to Troax if you're not very well acquainted. First one is machine guarding. We have approximately for 2021, 60% then of our turnover in machine guarding. As you can see from the picture there, these are typical examples then of installations where they require some sort of guarding. In this case, it's an automotive process, so you can have all sorts of processes, of course, where you use machine guarding. These sort of installations you have all over the world, all parts of the world, even of course it's more in the industrial and part of the world. Turning quickly into the second of our business segments or areas, we call it warehouse partitioning. As you can see from also this picture, it's more of a traditional warehouse where people are perhaps not walking around, but they are using forklift trucks to pick up things and then dispatch it to customers. I'll come back to you in a second then with a few comments regarding what we call today automated warehouse, which actually is a combination of this warehouse partitioning and machine guarding. This warehouse partitioning is approximately 30% of our turnover. Last, of course least from a financial point of view, but not least from a, let's say, importance point of view, is what we call property protection, which mainly is a North European, let's call, operation. It's approximately 10% of our turnover. As you can see from the picture, it's not really safety in the sense that you protect people from not getting hurt if something would go wrong. It's more about protecting, of course, different kind of luggage or bicycles or skis or whatever you have that you have in some sort of storage solutions, normally in the cellar or could be in the attic or another place. I then come to automated warehouse, which as I said, is a combination a little bit of products that are used in machine guarding, whereas the application is more to the warehouse side. As this picture tries to explain, and many of you have seen this before, it's a lot of different pallet racks. The difference then between this and what is more traditional warehouse is of course that this is highly automated. There are different kinds of, you can call it robots or picking parcels that are being transferred from the pallets in different ways on conveyor systems. And in different places here, then you need a lot of safety, because even if these are very highly automated installations, you normally need a lot of safeguarding, because people are working here with maintenance, they do some changes or updates or whatever. And then, of course, you want to protect people who are normally working in some sort of receiving or dispatching area towards the customer. This is then something which has been developing very well in the last couple of years, and you obviously know what is driving this. This is obviously the complete demand for an increase in all e-commerce that you and I, or obviously as consumers, are also driving. So we've had a very good development in these kind of installations in the last 2, maybe 3 years, and also during 2021 is continuing then to increase the turnover. And it's actually today the biggest, I would say, selling subsegment that we have, even if we don't officially inform about how big it is, but it's actually the biggest part that we have today. The year in brief, very short. Sales per region for 2021, approximately 75% of our turnover, if you look at the left of the circles there, Eastern Europe. So of course, and the continental Europe is a lot goes to obviously to Germany, France, Italy, and what have you. And then of course you had the UK and the Nordics. But what is growing with us at the moment substantially, or have been doing for 2021, is of course North America, where we've been quite successful with both machine guarding and also with the automated warehouse part. Obviously, a longer term, we try to grow what is called new markets, which of course is a lot is on the Asia Pacific side, but also on South America. And that's still on a low side, but obviously we think that there is a potential for that kind of region, at least long term. So if you look at the figures totally, then we increased both orders and the sales substantially this year, helped both by acquisition, but also by a substantial organic growth, which I'm coming back to. So totally we increased with some 50-55%. And due to then the good volume development, we've increased the profit with a bit more, so it was actually 70%. So from a financial point of view, 2021 has been rather good year for us. The operating margin is 20.8%, which is actually exceeding our targets, which I'll come back to. So in total, I would say that it's a good base for further development now in 2022. Obviously, earnings per share have developed also in a very good way, and the proposed dividend that will be given to the annual general meeting this proposal is to be increased with approximately 50%, so 30 cents is the proposal for dividend per share. I then go to the next page, which is summary of more the yearly development, the longer time period development. Just to get you into the picture then, that we are a growth company, we are in our business, we are the leading company in what we call the mesh panel solutions, or it could also be called indoor perimeter protection. We are approximately 2.5 times bigger than the number two players. I will come back to that a little bit later. We are in 45 countries, and due to the very good organic growth this year, I would say that we've had an increase of the compounded average growth with some 15% since 2012. Normally we are talking about then that the market is growing with some 4-6% per year, and on top of that we normally should take market share. So I would say that the more traditional way of looking at the growth for Troax is somewhere in the range of 8-10%. So obviously this means that the growth in 2021 has been substantial one. I go to the next one called financial targets. And if you see from the first one, we don't have an explicit target on the sales growth, but as I told you, then normally we should do something better than the market growth. and during 2021. And we had an organic growth then of a little bit below 40%. And then on top of that, we had an acquisition effect of the acquisition of Natom that we did in Poland in 2020, which added another 15%. So in total, then 54-55%, depending on how we calculate it. And the next target is the profitability one, where we should be in excess of 20%, which we have achieved this year, close to 21%. The same goes for the capital structure, where we shouldn't be more than 2.5. We should be below 2.5 times when you compare net debt to EBITDA. And we are actually at 0.8 at the end of the year, so we have a rather strong balance sheet, which means we can continue with investments, regardless if it's more, you know, machine investment or if it's market investment, or could be also possibly acquisitions. We should also pay as dividend approximately 50%, so this year we will be slightly below that, but 45% is a substantial increase to the year before, and with everything going on, we think this is a good balance for the Troax company and for also for the future investment. Next page, which is a little bit of a summary then for the quarter four, so not so much the whole year, but more on quarter four, and you can say that it continued in a very good way on the order trend, and this started by the end of Q1 in 2021, when the pandemic effects started to decrease substantially. After that, we've had a very good development, and the you could say that generally speaking, then to explain this good development is that there's been a strong demand from customers, mainly within what we call an automated warehouse and machine guarding. We note, however, just as a small remark, then, that during the second and third quarter, we did get at least some substantial part of, or maybe we should call it significant part of, orders, which was one way related and to projects, which was probably delayed from the pandemic, in fact, in 2020 or maybe even earlier. And in Q4, we haven't seen that. So obviously this kind of effect, however small or big it was, it has ended in Q4. So in Q4, it's more of a normal market development, whatever that means. But it's, for this quarter four, it meant that it was still a very good market development, which means that we could have a very good order trend, which then continued the trend from second and third quarter. We also have a good EBIT result margin for the quarter four compared to last year, but we are a little bit disappointed with the margin compared with previous during the year, and this is coming down from that the gross margin was a bit on the lower side, and there are a few explanations for this. One is, of course, that due to the fact that we sold a number of these bigger automated warehouse projects that was invoiced in the fourth quarter, that was taken and earlier in the year when the steel price was substantially lower, then of course this has a negative effect on the margin. We also had a little bit of a negative side due to the project mix and some costs which I will come back to, but nevertheless we think internally that we can do certainly better, and we aim to show a better figure in quarter one 2022 without giving you any real figure in itself, but it should definitely improve the gross margin. So if you then turn to the sales side, was good in all markets, I would say. So this was of course reflecting the activity in quarter four and in previous quarters. Earnings per share increased compared to last year, which I should also mention, and that the quarter four last year was of course influenced negatively by the pandemic effect, so we shouldn't maybe compare too much with that. Working capital is on the expected level, albeit that it is higher than before, and it is primarily because, well, firstly you have the natural cost that due to the fact that the sales have increased 55%, you of course get a higher receivable. I wouldn't say that this is a main object for our worry, but the inventory has clearly increased because we wanted it to increase, and we are quite happy to have that because there has been and will certainly continue to be some disturbances in the supply chain from our sub-suppliers, meaning then that they are delaying components or material that we need them for our own manufacturing, which means then that the lead times from sub-suppliers to us have increased, and it's not reliable like it was before. We have then taken the attitude, of course, of increasing the inventory, which I think right now it's a very healthy action. If we talk about the manufacturing units, which we now have, maybe not all over the world, but we have them in the industrial part of the world. They've had good development, good volume, so obviously we have a good coverage of the fixed cost there. Nevertheless, the steel prices continue to increase in the fourth quarter, and we actually get a little bit tired of this because we never see that the steel price is stabilizing, so we could also get a stabilization towards our customers. We are then obviously increasing the customer price in good cooperation with the customers, I must say. Of course, since the steel prices are increasing, there's a certain delay, of course, before we have compensated on this with increases towards the market. This time delay, you can also see has a negative influence, especially, I would say, on the quarter four this year or 2021. We did see stabilization towards the end of the period, so we hope, it's not a forecast, but we hope that now we have maybe some sort of stabilization and could also work in a better way than with the margins like we normally are doing. However, we are not in perhaps totally in control over the steel price. It's also influenced then by the demand from China, by the automotive industry. Of course, lately, the energy prices have risen considerably, so there is a certain risk that there might be some continuing increase in steel price. We have to wait and see. We are prepared for that. If it continues to increase, we of course have to go out again and talk to our customers and unfortunately then do some further adjustments of prices. Otherwise, we have adjusted the prices as we write here with some delay because of that there is a certain delay then between when we receive the price increase and when we can get it out, so to speak, practically from the customers. Turning quickly towards then some comment about the automotive, which we have commented now, I think during one and a half year, that it has not been very strong either in the fourth quarter. We had expected it to at least be a little bit stronger. We note that a number of the automotive companies have good investment plans, but they are not doing substantial investments, so they seem to delay it to a certain extent. There are investments going on, but I wouldn't say that it's done in a very big scale. This has to come sooner or later because with all this technological transfer to electric cars or electric platforms, this will obviously take place. We obviously need to wait for a couple of more quarters in order to see this properly. We hope that this will come now in 2022, but we have to come back to this time when we have facts to show you and not only expectations. On the other hand, the automated warehouse part is continuing to give very important orders, and it's, if anything, it's still increasing, I would say, in demand. This is of course very positive for Troax, and I think also we are very strong in delivering solutions for this kind of rather demanding customers. There is a negative side on the same thing, that is that our dependence, of course, on these customers have increased and due to the increase of volume. I think we can take care of this. It's not a main problem, but it's just something we all need to understand a little bit. The acquisition we did in 2020 in Poland, outside of Poznań, they continue to have a good development in the fourth quarter. We have started now finally to move also to new facilities. at the end of the year, we had moved biggest part, at least one of the two factories to the new site. The second one will have to wait a little bit because we still are trying to get some more electrical power to be connected with our building there. Before we get there, we can't really move the second one. During 2022 and into 2023, we should be able to move that also. As a small remark, we also started a new sales company in Australia. We think there's interesting possibilities there for a number of customers also that we already are discussing with, to, of course, to increase turnover in an interesting market. With this, I turn the page. I go to the financial highlights. I'm sure you've gone through this already. I already talked about that the gross margin for the quarter was on the low side. I have already explained, and I think the major effects on top of this, we have, of course, the consolidation effects of Natom, which in itself has a decent margin, and we are very happy with the result development. When we consolidate it with the rest of Troax, it reduces the margin somewhat just because the products that they are producing and selling have a lower margin, just because that is the structure from before compared to Troax. On top of that, we have, like I said before, we have moved at least one of the factories now to the new facilities in Poland, and it also created some extra costs. Nothing extraordinary, but it has in the fourth quarter, of course, reduced the margin also a little bit. Totally, the operating profit has increased compared with last year, but as I said, when you compare with last year and with average this year, it's a little bit on the lower side. On the total side, we already discussed the total picture. The aim is, of course, then, like I said before, and to step by step to come back to margins, which are a little bit similar to what we had before. Going to the next page, won't go through all the details. We've also done some reclassifications of some sales and to some countries, but it has no major impact, but just you know that the figures are slightly changed in previous year. If you see then, if we look at the orders, and it's a similar development than on the sales side, I first look at the whole year because that gives the total impact. The 12 months, January to December, which you see in the middle here on the page, there are substantial improvements in all regions, also in the more mature regions like the Nordic region, which has increased with 20%, which is a very good figure. Then you have, of course, North America, which have really excelled in very good growth, and they've really come through in a good way during this year. But also in new markets, which are, of course, much smaller figures, but we've grown there organically with some 40%, which is a good figure. And then, of course, we increased with the acquisition in order to get the total figure. So I think we really formed, as I said before, a good basis now for future growth. And one of the tasks for us now for 2022 is, of course, to, let's call it, grow into the much bigger costume that we have created during 2021, which is only a positive thing. But as you understand, with such a growth, there has been a certain pressure on the organization and on the manufacturing side and logistics and what have you. So we have, I think we should give the organization a big credit for what we have achieved during this year, because it's been tough with the pandemic and also the later substantial increase in demand. On the sales side, it looks a little bit similar. So if you see then on the 3 months, you see a minus then for UK, but I'm normally saying then that the UK, you shouldn't take too much attention to quarterly figures, because sometimes they get bigger projects which are also related to other regions. And in this case, some of the projects are actually then diverted to other regions. So, of course, we compare with 2020, where we had more business generally transferred through United Kingdom. So obviously that's greater than the negative figure, but from a market point of view and so forth, there's absolutely no worry from our side. We are quite happy what we are doing in the UK, so very well there. And so don't take this too negative, this -3 here for the fourth quarter. So totally a very good development in orders in fourth quarter. I go to some sort of conclusion, because I want to have some time, of course, for you to put some questions. So as we said now several times, very good order intake, mainly coming from automated warehouse, also from machine guarding, and some of the other segments have also progressed, as we write here, positively. A little bit low on the automotive side, as I said. Good development result, albeit, and that we are claiming then that the margin were in the quarter on the low side. North American operations did very well and show improved results. More or less all markets had a good development in orders, and the factories will continue to do well. Continue some turbulence with steel prices, but maybe there's some sort of stabilization towards the end of the quarter, which is at the moment, I would say, good for not only us, but for, you know, for the customers. They need some sort of stabilization, I would say now. It's a tough situation for many of them out there, because they have price increases done from suppliers like us, and we are normally, as you know, not the biggest supplier to these kind of customers, but they also have the problems then to get their own supply of different kind of raw materials or semiconductors or whatever that is, which of course creates some problems for them to deliver to their customers. Integration of Natom is ongoing in a positive way. So summary, good development, better result than corresponding quarter 2020, but a little bit on the low side now when compared with at least quarter two and quarter three. So we're going into slowly the end of this short presentation. The growth factors you've seen before, they are the same. So it's mainly the increased industrial automation, the growth in e-commerce. We are seeing some tendencies also at the onshoring, meaning you take back some manufacturing to where you are, but that this tendency is increasing. But I would say that compared with the other two main ones, it's not the biggest influence, but it's positive, let's say, on the modern time. On the production units, we still have, as you know, quite reasonable overcapacity, since we want to keep our customers then happy with good delivery terms. We have, though, increased them because of the volume increase, the utilization rates in more or less all of our factories. So which means then that we might look into some investment maybe earlier than expected, which is, of course, only a positive thing. The ones which is still on the too high side, short term on the machine capacity side or machine utilization side, is the Polish one where we are continuing to invest, but we are still waiting for some of the investments to come into implementation. So that capacity utilization is a bit too good long term. Turn the page, we are the group, so we have a number of brands. We don't need to go through this too much. We've been working then for a safer tomorrow since 1955, and we intend to continue to do that. And of course, one of the things which is becoming increasingly more important is to work with not only on the environmental side, but also on ESG items, generally speaking. So you've seen most of this before. We continue with both improving our products from a environmental point of view. We try to reduce the impact that our factories have on the environment, on the CO2. And we try to push down suppliers, mainly our steel suppliers, that we could use more of the reused steel or recycled steel, since obviously steel for us is the major impact and of CO2 which we not maybe directly can influence, but we can indirectly influence by buying more from the suppliers, and we can also influence maybe the steel works to a certain extent to increase the number of reuse of steel that they are, or recycled steel that they're using in their own production. We've also done some work on the ISO side in some of our units this year, so we will try to be a little more explicit over this in the when we do the annual information, which will come, I think, in March, next month. But we are concentrating to, you know, to continue to improve both the products and our impact and on the environment around us. Continue with our safety center with our R&D department, and of course also from an environmental point of view, this is quite important that that has a good influence already from day one, which means that we are starting to sketch on new or improved products. We are certified also by external companies. In this case, we have taken as an example to Freiland, which means then that the customer not only need to trust us, which we think they should do, but nevertheless, it's always, of course, good that an external certifying body has tested that you are doing what you're saying, and that is what we obviously are doing. So we continue to do this kind of testing so that the customer feels safe in what they buy from us. Here you have a photo from Steel, the biggest unit that we have in the group. So it's the one in the southern part of Sweden. Sort of this shows and that we continue to develop and invest. And of course, to some sort of summarize, we try to protect people, property and processes, where obviously then the people are the most important thing. But processes is becoming, of course, also more important as we go down the route of increasing, you know, safety awareness with our customers. And finally, we are the origin since 1955. We try to act like that also. We have a lot of respect for that we're working with safety. And so we try to have a high standard. And in other words, safety should equal Troax. And with this, I'd like to end my presentation. So John, if you would then invite the other people to put questions, I'll do my best, of course, to answer them. Thank you so far.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. And as a reminder, for those who want to ask a question, just press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for an automated message advising your line is open. Please then state your first and last name before you ask your question. Once again, star and one if you wish to ask a question. And we have a question that came through, sir. We will now take the first question. And the line is now open. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Thomas. Hope everything is good with you.
Thank you. Yes, so far so good.
Nice, nice to hear. So I was just first looking at the order intake. Are these orders primarily, will these orders primarily be materialized in the first quarter? And also, can you say anything about how the order conversion was in this quarter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these orders that came in the fourth quarter are primarily for deliveries in quarter one and partly in quarter two. We have, however, seen during 2021 that these bigger projects, especially in automated warehouse, have a certain, let's call it, inclination of being sometimes delayed because these are big projects and they're delayed. So there might be something coming into also the second part of this year. But generally speaking, they should be, according to the plans that we know of today, should be delivered in Q1 and Q2. If you then talk about the deliveries of Q4, there were a little bit more than usual than delivered in Q4. They came from previous quarter, so that's what I meant, that there were a certain delay then of certain projects, I would say, which of course had a negative effect also on the margin side.
Okay, perfect. And then just on the gross margin of 35%, if we disregard the lag in price increases for rising input prices, what would be a more normalized gross margin in this quarter? I know that before Natom, it was around maybe 40-41%.
Yeah.
But now after Nathan, what would be a more normalized gross margin?
Well, I think that under normal circumstances, we would say then that we will go to 39%, including Natom, something like this, plus minus, you know, 1% here and there, which is a, it's a good level where we should be on more longer term.
Perfect. Then just the last question. You know, you hear about car manufacturers moving the production back from Asia back to Mexico and Europe. Is this something that you have witnessed or experiencing?
Yeah, we are seeing that. We have not seen so much that it actually have occurred in reality. But we see a number of potential customers and also some customers who are obviously planning for this. I think this will have a positive effect. It will benefit us and also our competitors, I think, generally speaking. I would not say that this dramatically changes the demand, but it of course is a good thing in general that these things happens. It increases demand for automated solutions, and if you have an automated solutions, you normally need perimeter guarding.
Perfect. Thank you. That's all for me. Have a nice weekend.
Same to you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Once again, for those who want to ask a question, just press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have questions that came through, and we will now take the next question. Line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hello, Thomas. This is Jon Hyltner. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, super.
You sound a little bit darker than normal, but I hear you.
Okay. Well, I don't know why. I just wonder, you mentioned that in automated warehouses, you see bigger orders than in the rest of your business. And just looking at the order intake in Q4, the growth rate there, is that reflecting more or less the underlying demand you have, or is it inflated by some major projects that are not likely to be repeated most quarters?
A good question. We hope, of course, that some of these projects will be repeated. To answer you in a serious way, I would say that now we think that the fourth quarter is probably reflecting relatively well the market activity, even if we cannot say, of course, then that some of the bigger projects that came in quarter four, that the corresponding one will come every quarter. We think that this is fairly well reflecting the activity. I should add also, which I'm sure you're very well of, that in the organic growth, of course, for the fourth quarter, there's a certain price increase influence, which of course makes the figure look a little bit better than if you compare volume-wise.
Can you say anything about the extra price increase you would have needed to fully offset the margin squeeze from higher steel prices?
I don't want to do that, but
Okay.
We're working with it. I don't want to disclose that.
All right. Just a final thing on, you said you increased your stock level, and I saw it also. I think it was up 5 million or so versus Q3.
Yeah.
Is it just plain steel or is it finished goods you have there in stock?
It's both. On top of that, you also have a few projects that will be delivered now in Q1 that are more or less finished, but they're waiting for the customer, so to speak, to say yes, so we can release it.
The goods you have in stock are the cost for it, that's already known, of course, but are the prices
Yes.
already negotiated with the customer?
Yes, they are. Yes.
Okay. There's no margin risk, so to speak, of perhaps having
No, not for those ones. No, no, I can't see that.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's good to hear. That's all I had. Have a nice weekend, Thomas.
Yeah. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. We will now take the next question. Your line is now open. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hi, it's Kenneth here. Just a question on the balance sheet and dividend and so on. Your balance sheet is very strong, and you paid a little bit less than the 50% payout, and it's a little bit more now than a year ago from when you acquired Natom. So are you looking very actively to do more acquisitions now?
That's a very good question, Kenneth. Perhaps a little bit sensitive, but I can just tell you in the way that we are looking actively into making more acquisitions. If they come up, you know, more in the near future or in the longer future, we'll have to see. But we are quite interested to do more acquisition. You are absolutely correct that we have a strong balance sheet, but we also see that because of the good volume development, we need to, perhaps earlier as expected, and I said, do more investment. So maybe we are a little bit on the cautious side, and we have to see how this works out. But I think you will find out after Q1, and if you know, if this was a reasonable assessment or if we're just maybe overcautious.
Okay. And when you're talking about expanding production capacity, are you looking mainly to do that in your existing operations, or are you looking at, would you consider to do a greenfield in a new country or a new city, for example?
No, we will not do it in any new company. We will primarily extend our existing facilities.
That makes sense. Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenneth.
Thank you, and no further questions that came through, sir. You may continue.
Okay. Thank you very well for listening in. We will talk again then in towards the end of April. If you have the time and are interested, we have, I think we have the release of the quarter in 27th of April or something like that. So in the meantime, I wish you all the best. Take care, and I hope to be able to return to you then with some further growth, which is, of course, our long-term aim. Don't give you any promises, but this is what we're working for. So thank you very much. Looking forward to talk to you next time.
Thank you. That concludes our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect. Speaker, please stand by.